With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
What do you mean a new podcast out on a Monday? That's weird. Yes, it is weird. I'll give you that, listener. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone now, joining me pre-recorded live on a Sunday, is James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
This is very weird, Ben. How are you doing?
I like it. It's to make it even more complicated, it's daylight outside. That's odd. But welcome to the Evo Stick MPL show. Obviously, we know where we are now. We're into... Well, in ordinary worlds, it would be the last week of the season, but this season's going to go on and on and on for months, it feels like. But this week, it is the playoff semi-finals. It's going to end on Saturday with three playoff finals as well, and then we'll come to the super playoff the week after. But at this stage, we're here for the preview show for this week's playoff semi-finals in the Premier Division, in Division East and Division West. And only for you, dear listener, we've got the best people around to come on the show, barring the people who aren't on the show who we normally get on. They're pretty good too. But this week, we've got Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio to come on to talk about the playoff semi-final in the Premier Division. We've got Thomas Feeney, non-league journalist from Yorkshire, to talk about the playoff semi-final in the East. And in the West, we've got the manager of the champions, Atherton Coles, coming on, Mr. Michael Clegg. That's right. We're also going to be talking to the champions of the Premier Division, Adam Laitland, manager of Farnsley Celtic, will be coming on the show. And still in the Premier Division for next season, John McGrath at Michelover Sports. He'll be joining us too. But James, what a finale to the season that was. I'm exhausted. How are you feeling?
Well, especially with the relegation fight going right down to the wire, being sat with the live sports boys at Farnsley Celtic.
we'll come to the relegation pitch in a second, because it was quite an extraordinary final 15 minutes of the season for everyone involved. Farnsley Celtic knew what they had to do. They needed just a point against Marine. Marine needed a point as well to stay up. In the end, Farnsley Celtic got the win. A 2-0 victory over Marine. South Shields at the same time, they did their job. They beat Gainsborough Trinity, but it wasn't enough. Farnsley Celtic, crowned champions, played 40, won 28, drawn 6, just lost your 6, scored 82 goals, conceded 40. It's been quite an extraordinary season for Farnsley. They have been pretty relentless all the way through. And on Sunday evening, I caught up with the manager at Farnsley Celtic. Here's Adam Laitland.
Well, loads of emotions, really. I mean, obviously, immense pride in, you know, the players, my staff, the volunteers, the supporters, the board, just everybody really, you know, connected to the club. It's been a real collective effort, and you know, I'm incredibly proud of the part that everybody's played, and then one of, you know, relief. We've been under so much pressure because we've been pushed so hard by two other outstanding teams in South Shields and Warrington, and certainly over the last 7 or 8 weeks when we've been top of the pile, but the gap's been close, and you know, there's been that pressure on us to hold on and keep the others at bay, and we've managed to do that, and I think deservedly in the end, you know, get over the line, and you know, it's an incredible achievement by everybody at the club.
I mean, the Marine match itself, was the pressure was on, because like you say, I mean, it was a free horse race even up to about last week, which is quite remarkable in itself. But South Shields have pushed you all the way as well. And Marine needed the point, but you only needed a point. So what was your mood going into the game? I'm going to get 3 points here or what?
Well, I said a couple of times through the week, you know, it's a very, very risky game going into any game of football, trying to get a point. You know, I know there's times when you might have to go and try and do a job on somebody and maybe you'd take a point, but it was a risky game for probably both us and Marine to play yesterday. So the key thing for us was the clean sheet. You know, we knew going into it that if we kept a clean sheet, we were champions, and you know, the game itself wasn't a great spectacle, and in fairness, you know, I don't think we've been anywhere near our best for a number of weeks now, I put that down to a lot of nerves. But one thing that the players have done is they've worked incredibly hard and they've defended incredibly well. And I pulled the three centre-halves before the Hyde game and I said, we need two clean sheets out of the last three games and we'll be champions. And, you know, although it was a collective effort, you know, I thought that them three were superb for us away at Whitby last Monday and then again yesterday. And, you know, disappointingly for Marine to go down, it was, you know, one emotion for us and then a completely different one for them. And we wish them all the best for next season as they'll try and return straight away to the Premier Division. But, you know, for us it was just go in, can we keep a clean sheet and of course try and win the game 2-0, and fortunately we managed to do that.
Absolutely. And I know you said about the performances in recent weeks, but it's been that consistency that's been there throughout the season. And like you said, I mean, you've been 1-2 pretty much all season long. You've been relentless, really. And 1,500 people there watching the game as well. A great initiative to get the crowds in there on the final day. It's all a springboard heading into the National League North.
Well, I hope so, yeah. I mean, you know, fantastic gesture by Paul, who became our new chairman last week, you know, to allow free entry for everybody. And, you know, it was packed to the rafters and, you know, it was a real great day for everybody that was down there. And, you know, fortunately we managed to get the result that everybody wanted, because it would have been a completely different mood if we'd not completed the job. But no, it was a great day. It was a great occasion. And it, for me, it just shows how far we've come in the last 2 years and how much potential there is at the club and, you know, what we can possibly do moving forwards if we market ourselves better and we push out and promote ourselves better, because it's a fantastic club and there's great facilities down there, albeit they are going to be improved drastically over the summer. And you know, yeah, it was a really great day, and you know, to have over 1,500 people there and sharing that occasion with so many of the Farsley people was fantastic.
Now, obviously, you probably not had much time to think about this, but there's two types of promotion to the National League North, and obviously Altrincham have got themselves into the playoffs, have had Spennymoor and Blyth Spartans, but then again, Ashton United have been relegated, as of SC United this season. So what's your take on what Farsley can achieve in the National League North next season?
Well, I think we'll just go into it, and we know we're going to be massive underdogs virtually in every single game, but that suits us. You know, we're under no illusions that we're going into a you know, a very, very difficult division, and there's some massive clubs in there, and you know, we'll just go in and enjoy it, and we'll try and be as competitive as we can be. You know, I'm a competitive guy, I'm an ambitious guy. I expect us to win games of football, and the players are aware of that. And you know, we won't be going in there just to make the numbers up, but at the same time, we're not going to be making any bold statements about what we can or cannot do. We'll just continue to work the way that we've worked since I came to the club, and that is, you know, literally just preparing one game at a time, doing our homework, making sure that the team's got the best possible chance to go out and perform to its maximum. And if we do that, then I'm certain that we can make a good count of ourselves next year and be as competitive as we can be.
Adam Laitland there, joining us probably for the last time, James. And a big congratulations to Adam Laitland and everyone at Farsley Celtic. They have been relentless. So I think that's the right term.
They have done so. And again, whenever everyone's had that little bit of a slip, so when we talk about in February, March, they've made the most advantage. Yeah, they had their own little bit of a slip early on in the season. I had one or two key injuries as well. Obviously, the team need to rally around. They did. 2-0 win. Job got done. That's all needs to be said there. Congratulations, Farsley.
Absolutely. Big congratulations and all the best next season in the National League North. So, the playoffs, obviously South Shields missing out on the title. They have home advantage for both the playoff semi-final. If they progress to the final, they'll have home advantage there. And probably for the super duper playoff final as well, James, if you can confirm that for a week on Saturday, who's guaranteed home advantage?
Yeah, so it's either South Shields or Warrington from our division. Otherwise, we're on the road to the Southern League.
Okie dokie. Right, so South Shields in the semi-finals will be taking on Buxton. Buxton did it. They crept over the line, got their 1 point ahead of Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough Trinity, as we said, were beaten by South Shields. That was enough regardless, but Buxton got the point anyway. That point came at home to Warrington Town. Buxton 2, Warrington Town 2. So South Shields against Buxton, Warrington Town against Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town ending the season. Resting players, rotated players, and that was shown really on Saturday when Basford United beat Nantwich Town by 7-3. Not far off that result you predicted for Gainsborough Trinity there, James, actually. But it was Basford United 7, Nantwich Town 3 in the end. Nantwich Town finishing the season comfortably in the playoffs in fourth position. They'll be travelling to Cantilever Park on Tuesday. Now, let's talk about these playoff semi-finals then. And let's have a little discussion further. And on Sunday evening, I caught up with our friend at Yorkshire Coast Radio for his take on these four playoffies. Playoffies, James, does that work? Playoffies?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, James, come with me. Playoffies. Here's Adrian Snaith. Firstly, let's talk about South Shields. You could say they've just missed out on the title. But it's been increasingly likely that Fazer Celtic were going to do it. So the disappointment factor might not necessarily be there at South Shields. What's your take?
Yeah, they've had a month or two to get used to the fact that they're no longer the favourites. I mean, they're a formidable side at home, as we know. Buxton will be difficult opponents, I think. I really do think that. Very strong mentally. I think they'll go away and give a really good account of themselves. South Shields play some great football, but I think a lack of cutting edges has maybe just stopped them from going that little extra level and really push for the championship there. Really intriguing game, I think, plus differing styles, but I'm really looking forward to this. But we've seen it season after season, Ben, that often the sides that finish second or third, especially the second place teams, they can often just be caught by this semi-final like 3 days after the end of the season. The amount of times you see the second place side lose out in the semis, I mean, it happens regularly, doesn't it?
It does, and I would never suggest complacency would ever filter in at South Shields, but the home form has been something else this season, and it's been the pillar of this season and many seasons before that. I mean, South Shields have been so formidable at home. That said, everyone knows that, and the squad might know that as well, and Lee Pitson and Graham Fenton really do have to drive home the fact that this isn't a gimme, and Buxton have been on it in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think the reason the second place side sometimes struggles in this quickfire semi-final is, you know, no other sort of level would you have it like we have at non-league. 3 days later, you're in the playoff, not knowing who you're playing until the Saturday at 5 o'clock. But you've also got the fact, you know, that there was that chance that they could have won the league on Saturday. Yes, it was unlikely and it was a slim opportunity, but, you know, that disappointment, I think, often filters through, and that's possibly why the high place teams often end up losing out in the semis. Can we talk about the format itself, Ben? Because it is a bit of a nonsense, I think.
Well, it's easy
going on. This is my opinion.
Yeah, sure. It's easy at step three to explain, because the winners of the playoffs in the Premier Division go through to the Super Duper playoff, which is a week on Saturday, and that'll be against the team who wins the playoff in the Central League. This is for one season only, I believe. It's a lot worse at step four, because there's a chance that you might not get promoted if you win your playoff. So we did cover that on last week's MPL show, but it is something that needs to be factored in, the fact that it's not two games to win to get promoted, it's three games.
I just really feel sorry for the team that ends up winning the regional playoff and loses the Super Playoff.
I love the fact it's called the Super Playoff, by the way. It's cracking that.
Yes,
don't know who came up with that. I like the Super Duper Playoff, though. I do think it adds a bit more gravitas to the whole proceedings. But just to say about Buxton, I mean, Buxton's last away trip was a 6-0 win at Matlock. So we discussed it last week. they're the team with momentum out of all three, out of all four sides. They're the ones who drove themselves to the playoffs. They're going to be pretty formidable.
Yeah, they are, and they've been in good form recently as well. I'd say slightly different sort of styles of play, you know. Buxton do have some firepower as well. They do have some players who score goals. I think it'll be really interesting, but a really tough one to call this. A really, really, really difficult one. And equally, you know, over in Cheshire. I mean,
yes.
Am I allowed to call it a derby, Ben? Am I allowed to?
It's a derby, I suppose. It's a form of derby. I mean, it's North Cheshire against South Cheshire. It's a long drive, in all fairness. Anyway, let's talk about that game then. It's two sides who've been, not relaxing isn't the right word, because Warrington could have still won the league up until about a week ago, but they headed into the final game on Saturday knowing that the chances were they were going to finish third. For Nantwich, they've been ticking over, let's say, and Dave Cook freely admitted that in recent weeks. They've been ticking over, ready for this game on Tuesday. This could go either way, really. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Nantwich obviously playing a weakened side at Beresford and being 7-3 as a result. You know, you think, are they going to be proved right? You know, if you think if it goes to extra time, you know, there's going to be some stiff legs maybe in the Warrington camp, depending on whether they did similar on Saturday. And, you know, and if Nantwich come through, obviously it's proved to be the correct idea. But often you see, you know, you make a lot of changes, you lose heavily, you lose momentum as a result, and it goes to the other way. So I suppose it'll be either vindicated or vilified, depending on the which way it goes. Again, I think we've got a bit of a clash of styles here, Ben. Warrington with that, built on that superb, impenetrable defence, you know. They're a little bit like Chorley were a few seasons back. It's that, you know, we'll win 1-0, we'll win 2-1. Nantwich, on the other hand, really free-flowing. When they really get into their flow, they can absolutely batter sides, you know. Going from experience, we went there and got hit 4-1. You know, if you get them on a bad day, you could really get thumped by them. They do have some outstanding attacking players.
I'm going to get you to pin your colours to the mast. Andy, what's your vibe? We've seen it in the past, haven't we? I mean, I go back to FC United hosting Ashton United at Gig Lane, and you know, everyone thinks, you know, and that was Phil Owenacker's, wasn't it, at Ashton United that season? And, you know, everyone was saying FC United nailed on, and then Ashton United did it. They caused an upset. Could that happen at South Shields in the playoff semi-final? Could Buxton do it? And what on earth is your opinion on what is going to happen between Warrington and Nantwich Town? I want predictions, Mr. Snaith. Predictions before we go.
Go on then. You know what? I'm gonna blow it open straight away. I think Buxton will do it at South Shields on Tuesday night. I think they will have that mental strength to go there and grind something out there. I think they have exactly that sort of mentality where they will go up there and they'll have that siege mentality and they'll get something. They'll pull off the shot. The other game's a real tough one to call. I'll go with Warrington by what they have been doing all season and a 1-0 win.
And I do hope everyone pulled the same face I pulled at home when Mr. Snaith went for that then and said Buxton would go win. It was like that smiley shock face. That's the face I pulled right there. Slightly mouth aghast, smiling like, wow, he did it. He actually did it. So well done, Mr. Snaith, for being that bold. Brilliant stuff. Just before you go, just a quick plug for Yorkshire Coast Radio. Any? Do you do rugby league or cricket over the summer? What happens?
No, we don't do a great deal during the summer, Ben. But we do. We have been known to diversify into different random games that happen to be played at Whitby. But no, we're going to have a little rest over the summer and come back with Whitby Town's pre-season campaign from July onwards. So yes, I appreciate the plug, but yeah, we'll be all silent, but hopefully updating our software and all the rest of it ready for the brand new season in July.
Andrew Snaith there from Yorkshire Coast Radio. So South Shields against Buxton, Warrington against Nantwich, and I'm not even going to ask James for his view on the matter because he's a league official and it would be very wrong. But commiserations to Gainsborough Trinity, but certainly something to build on for next year, as we were discussing last week, James, on the permutation show. Gainsborough, Basford United, Scarborough, even Witten and Hyde, and Whitby, all poised to have a bit of a bounce into next season. Also, we'll that team who will have a bit of a bounce for next season, James, is Michelover Sports. Let's talk about the last 15 minutes then. So obviously, Marine knew they had a tough test. They were travelling to Fars and Celtic. They needed a point. Fars and Celtic needed a point. But we knew Fars and Celtic were going to go for it, and they did. They won 2-0. So it all fell then on Stalybridge Celtic and Michelover Sports. Stalybridge Celtic beat Grantham Town, so Stalybridge Celtic were fine. And up until 5 minutes to go, Michelover Sports were getting relegated. They were drawing. In fact, with 15 minutes to go, they were trailing 1-0 at Bamber Bridge. Then there was a penalty, which Shaquille McDonald scored. And then, with 5 minutes left, Evan Garnett scored the winner, sending the travelling support and everyone related to Michelover Sports into raptures. Set up a very nervous last 5 minutes or so, but Michelover Sports safe into next season. They go in the Premier Division. A big commiserations to Marine, but for Michelover, it's job done. And on Sunday evening, I caught up with the manager. Here's John McGrath.
I turned to the referee and asked him how long was to go, and he said there was 16 minutes left. And at that point, we kind of knew we had to go kind of go for it. But you look around the pitch, and we had experienced players: Pablo Mills, Ben Turner, Jimmy Phillips, Ricky Ravenhill, myself. So you think, if we're going to go for it, let's go for it together. And we got the goal from the penalty. Jake Scott did tremendously right back to get forward, and then it was all out, really. And it was just a blur, great finish from Evan Garnett, and Bamber Bridge blinking chucked the bus at us in the last couple of minutes. The keeper comes up for a corner kick and a free kick, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, it's like the FA Cup final here. And I wasn't best appreciated of it, but it kept us on our toes. But great feeling to get over the line, and the bus journey home from Bamber was a very, very sweet one.
I bet it was. And we going into the day, obviously, Marine had the short end of the stick, really, with that away trip to Fars and Celtic. But that said, they only needed a point, and that comes with its own, issues and that kind of thing. But Fars and Celtic did the job that they needed to do to seal the title. Stalybridge, obviously, were still involved as well, and they had Grantham. So you knew what you had to do. How important was that clarity going into the game, that it was do or die, essentially?
I said to the boys before the game, I said, look, let's just do our job. The worst feeling in the world would have been if Marina lost and we hadn't took advantage of that. Then the bus journey home would have been a hell of a lot worse. But my message to the boys all week was, look, let's do our job. Let's get our jobs done and dusted. And then whatever happens. I went to watch Marine and Basford last Saturday week, and Marine should have won that game of football. They come away and it was nil-nil. They missed three or four open goals, and in my eyes, they're not the worst sides in this division. So it's hard for them to take. If I was in their shoes, I'd be looking, 85 minutes to go. I'm still in the league, but thankfully we did our job, and it's always a hard task going to Farsley. Farsley, needed to put a show on to win the league, thankfully they did that for us.
That said, form is form, and Michelover's form has not been too bad recently, and especially the away form, and that's your third straight away win, and unbeaten in the last five away trips. And what's the secret with that, with regards to that?
Do you know what? It's probably a good pitch. It's when we go away, our pitches, the pitches away are better than ours. Anybody who knows me, who watches my teams play, we like to play football. We like to it's knocking about, but unfortunately our pitch kind of mirrors Coronation Street Cobbles at times. We're very much on the back foot when it comes to that. So that's going to be addressed. I think if you look at our last six games, we've picked up 11 points from a possible 18. which is great form. 1-3, drawn 2, and lost 1 from the last 6, and that's probably got us over the line. You know, that realization. Look, boys, we are in a dogfight. You know, let's do something about it. And you know, we made some good signings the last 6 to 8 weeks, and you know, they've really helped out.
And that, obviously, you probably not even thought about this, John, in all fairness, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Obviously, next season, Mikulova will be in the NPL Premier Division. It's going to be a very competitive Premier Division. There's going to be maybe 4 teams, maybe 3 teams from the player position still with us. Got Ashton United and FC United joining the division. Morpeth and Atherton Coles and maybe 2 others as well from Step 4. It's going to be really, really competitive. So how do you make sure Mikulova are much higher up this time next season?
It's got to be about recruitment, I think, in the summer. You know, I'll let this weekend die down for 4 or 5 days, speak to my chairman, my board next week, and you know, we take it from there. You know, I've kind of held my hands up this year, and you know, for me the recruitment wasn't good enough. But that's what we have to do. You know, we know it's gonna get harder, you know, you know, kind of year on year. We're a small club with a small budget, but we've got lots of ambition. So it's about picking up the right players at the right time. If you look at our goals scored, you know, we've scored 39 goals, I think, which is probably one of the lowest in the division. So, you know, maybe, probably not an old goal scorer, but, you know, everyone's after one of those. So, yeah, that's my main objective in the summer is to get my recruitment sorted.
And I'm fine there, John. Looking forward to the summer? I suppose. That's a good question.
Oh my God, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm 39. I think I played 38 games a season. Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to sitting on the beach with my wife and 3 kids, and just being able to just kind of switch off, because it's when you're a player, you can kind of switch off from it, because it's done and dusted at 5:30 a game. But when you're a manager, it's all encompassing. It's daily. It's 24 hours a day. It's on your mind. I don't think I've slept, a wink in the last 6 weeks. So I'm going to go out tonight with my family, have a few beers and celebrate and just chill out for a bit.
John McGrath there, player manager at Mikulova Sports, and he's had a hell of a season, hasn't he? We sometimes forget, as we were saying there, James, he's also a player, and it's been a long season for Mikulova, but job done.
Yeah, I think they've always been down on that little bottom end. They've not really pushed forward unless they needed to, and that's come alive in the last three games. They were nearly dead and buried, and like I said on the show, we would have been talking about Mikulova Bamber Bridge being the all-star game on the day, but went to Bamber Bridge, knew what they had to do, and they fought right to the very end. First ever relegation for Marine now, especially on the 125th anniversary too.
125 years, and that's their first relegation. And, you know, as an FC fan, we've been going, how long have we going? 14 years, and that was our first relegation. To go 125 years, it's been a cracking stay at this level for Marine Football Club. But I'm sure they'll bounce back, and we wish Paul Leary and Neil Young and everyone at the club all the best for the future, and all the best for next season. But that's the Premier Division, and just to confirm, getting relegated, Marine and Workington, and of course North Ferriby technically. And we should say at this stage as well, a big congratulations to North Ferriby, the Phoenix club, reborn, and we'll have a place in the non-league pyramid next season. So a big good luck to everyone who's departing Step 3 this season. Obviously, Marine and Workington will be going down to Step 4, and that then does take us to what happened in Division East and Division West. We'll be hearing from Tom Feeney shortly from Yorkshire, non-league journalist from Yorkshire, with a view on the playoffs when it comes to Division East. But let's talk about Division West. And in a second, we're going to be hearing from Michael Clegg from Atherton Coles, because the season's finished, and in the end, they've done it by 7 points over Radcliffe. But just to confirm the playoff places following Saturday's results, Runcorn Linnets missing out. They did beat Glossop North End, but Ramsbottom United did what they needed to do against Kidsgrove. It finished 2-2, so Ramsbottom United in the playoffs. Also in the playoffs, we've got Colne. They beat Skelmersdale United by 2-1. Leek finished in third position in the end, beating Colwyn Bay by 1-0. And Radcliffe, who were on a hiding to nothing on Saturday, really, they were beaten by Chasetown, but they finished the season in second position. So with a view now on Division West, on Sunday, I caught up with the manager at the Champions Atherton Coles, Michael Clegg. And first off, I started by asking the obvious question, really. What's it like to be champions of Division West?
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we come into the season just hoping to do better than last year. And to be honest, it's gone really according to plan. We wanted to do to improve our discipline. I think last year we had 8 red cards. We didn't win any of them games. So we spoke a lot about discipline. And we wanted to score more goals because we didn't score many goals last year. So I think we've ended the season top of the discipline table, top goal scorers and top of the league. So it's just been a perfect season. But it still could have been so much better. You know, there was times we struggled for consistency. We used 7 goalkeepers because Greg broke his hand on the second game. And then our contracted centre midfielder left in November because of work. So obviously, if you're on a contract at Atherton Coles, you're a massive part of it. And then we lost our winger to New Zealand in February, and Danny Lambert and Jordan Cover missed all of December, January and February. So it's been tough, and it could have been a lot better. So we're delighted to get over the line in the end anyway, obviously.
I mean, the thing's been, it's pretty much like we were saying earlier with Fasa Celtic. Consistency's been key. And I know there's been a bit of a title race with yourselves and Radcliffe and Runcorn Linnets. But ultimately, after each round of the campaign, Atherton Coles has been top. So you've been there pretty much throughout. But you've not melted under the pressure at all.
No, I mean, obviously, what people just saw the Radcliffe scoreline, they've seen it 1-0, and I heard their reports that, oh, they deserve to win the game. I mean, we've missed a penalty with 10 minutes to go, and they've scored a deflected shot. They had 2 corners and 2 shots. We do all stats for games. So that it was a brutal way to lose such a big game. You know, that put them within a point of us. But then after that, we've gone and won 5 and drawn 1. So we don't buckle under pressure, you know, and I really didn't mean it to sound big-headed. I explained it to the lads in the dressing room, and I explained it on another interview I did, that I was the right man to lead them to the league because I've got we've got the experience of doing it. You know, out of all that league, we've been in 7 cup finals and won 2 leagues in the last 4 years going into this. So if there's any team who we think can handle pressure, it should be us.
And we should say as well, I mean, it follows on from a cracky season last year. And, you know, we've seen it with Runcorn Linnets this year, and we saw it with Glossop North End when they first came out of the counties as well. It's a good springboard, isn't it? And if you do well out of the counties, there is something to build upon there. And like you said, yourself and the rest of the management team have that experience to hand.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the North West Counties is a great league, and I think it stands you in good stead for this league. I think the difference in the two leagues is if you have a bad day in the Evo Stick, you get beat. It's as simple as that. And I think in the counties, you do still go to some games and not play particularly well and still grab a win. I think that's the biggest difference. It's being on top of your game all the time. You can't afford to switch off. And I mean, you look at the players in the league this year, some fantastic players. I mean, look at like Wildy, what he's done to Mosley. You know, you've got Mosley, us and Radcliffe, who was up there, who are not used to that. And then, you know, Trafford are always strong and Colne are strong and Radcliffe, their recruitment's been decent. And then Leek was a very good side. And I genuinely mean this when I say it. I don't think there's anything between the top 7-8 sides. I don't think there's anything at all. I mean, you can throw Kids Grove into that as well. I mean, they're probably top 10. It was who could kind of be most consistent and get their 11 out, the strongest 11 out, most frequent. And obviously, it helps us scoring goals. But I genuinely don't think that there was anything between them top 10 teams. And at the start of the year again, we said you might lose 8 or 9 games this year and win the league. And that's what's happened.
Absolutely.
So it's just been crazy.
And that then leads us on to next season. And, you know, there's some big names. Whoever misses out on the playoffs, there's still some big names left in the league. We've obviously got Aston United and FC United joining the division as well. It's going to be a tough division next year. But quite a few teams out of Step 4 do quite well the following season. So what's your hopes for the next season?
Well, we genuinely want to do as well as we can. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I know every team inside and out, because I don't, because I've dedicated 2 years of my life to getting out of the Evo Stick West. So I know all them teams inside and out. So what it's about for me now is learning the league. We've always found in our second season in each league we do well. So it'd be about just gaining as much knowledge as we can of the league, trying to play our football and worrying about ourselves really for a year before we start delving deep into our position and stuff. We'll do that along the way next year, and we've got a scout. We video games. We work really, really hard behind the scenes, and we'll just continue to do that. I mean, there's going to be no expectation on us. I would imagine the board will say just stay in the league. I've got a meeting with them on Tuesday, but we're really, we're really ambitious, us, the coaching staff and all the players, and there's loads of our lads who could play higher, so I'm just hoping we go in and we can do ourselves proud, really, and obviously we just get as high as we can.
Now, obviously, you've already touched upon it. The top 10 has been ultra competitive when it comes to Division West. And at this point, I'm not going to put you into any trouble. I'm not going to ask for any predictions or anything like that off you, Michael. But the playoff semi-finals and Radcliffe against Ramy, Leek against Colne, it's not far off a flip of the coin here, is it, really? Because it's
so tight. It's just so tight. I'll make it clear, I'd be desperate for Colne to get over the line. We've had a great rivalry over the last few years. I'm good mates with Cunny. Both sets of players get on really well. So that's kind of who I will be rooting for, really. But again, I think Radcliffe are so strong defensively. But Leek are a really good footballing side. And, the Ramy gaffer's done incredible since he's gone in there as well. So, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't even like to say. Any of them teams can win that. And I know that's cliche, but I mean, I really do believe that. It's going to just be so tough for all four teams. I'm just delighted I'm not in it. I don't think my heart could have took that. But I'm going to try and get to both games this week if I can. Going to get down to Radcliffe on Tuesday to watch that, and I'll try and get down to Leek on Wednesday to watch Cunny and his lads as well. So I'm really looking forward to it, with having no pressure for a change, just going, being able to enjoy watching a match, really.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you as well, because obviously the playoffs were on your mind, I'd imagine, during the second half of the season. You as a manager, did you even, because we were discussing this last week on the show, did you even contemplate the idea of winning the playoffs and not being able to go up because of this points per game business?
No, we didn't, to be honest. We just took each game at a time, and we never even thought about that. We'd give it our all no matter what we're in, so that was kind of irrelevant to us. And I only really thought about winning the league when I was driving home from FC United. I've been supporting Bakes and Trafford at the Integro final, and I try and keep my phone off and everyone kept telling me that. Colne were beating Radcliffe, and then it was literally driving home that day, 4 points clear with 3 games to go, and I thought, we're not going to get stopped now. Just knew from that point, I thought, it's there. It's our time now, like, and then it would just been crazy. The lads have just been magnificent. I'm just absolutely buzzing for them all. I mean, you'll see on the club's Twitter and stuff, this week's been incredible. All the support we've had, just truly humbling for a club of our size, and we're just so grateful to everyone.
Michael Clegg there, manager of Atherton Colnes, and a big congratulations to everyone at Atherton, and fair play to Michael. James, I wasn't going to ask him to pin his colours to the mast, but he said he wants Colne, and I'm assuming you want Radcliffe. So I'm going to say, come on, Leek. Come on, Ramy. There. It's all balanced now, James.
Fair point.
but you can't really say much about the playoffs. What we can say is those four teams there will make a splash in the division above. That's for sure.
Yeah, you've got four very strong teams. Three of them that know what it's like to be in the Premier Division. Granted, Leek's been about 5 years. Radcliffe, 13 years. Ramy, 2 years since they got relegated from the Premier Division. Runcorn there, They were in the playoffs at one point during the afternoon as well. I think Colne had slipped out before they took the lead against Skelmersdale. Apparently Skelmersdale gave them a game.
So a big good luck to all four sides in the playoffs. And obviously we're going to be back later in the week and we'll have the winning managers from the playoff semi-finals on the show on Friday. And we'll be talking about that playoff final. And we'll be doing that also with the Premier Division and with our next talking point, Division East. And obviously, Pontefract Coles had nailed second spot probably in February, I'm going to suggest. But they're there just to confirm and finish the season on a high, beating Gresley by 3-0. It was a weird way of setting up the playoff semi-finals in the fact Brighouse Town took on Sheffield on Saturday in a little precursor for this week's playoff semi. And it finished Brighouse Town 1, Sheffield 2. Let the mind games begin, everybody. And Ossett United sealed their playoff spot by drawing 1-1 with Stocksbridge Park Steels. Tadcaster Albion just missing out. But what a way to miss out. They beat Lincoln United by 8-3. Wow. Well played, Tadcaster.
I put on that morning as well. That's Tadcaster had to win by 9 to take Ossett United.
Oh, wow.
So, who'd have guessed it? Let's be honest. Straight away.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Good effort, Tadcaster, but missing out and our commiserations. But it's Pontefract, Brighouse, Sheffield and Ossett United. And for more on these contenders for this week's playoff semi-finals in Division East, on Sunday night, I caught up with non-league journalist from Yorkshire. It's Thomas Feeney. So, Tom, a big thank you for joining us. And, it made perfect sense to me to get you on for this bit of the show because four sides from Division East in the playoffs, all from Yorkshire. It just made perfect sense. We should start off with Pontefract Coles. They've had a brilliant, brilliant season. And, you know, up from Step 5 into Step 4 and potentially on the way to Step 3. It's been quite a ride.
It's been an absolutely incredible ride. And I will just say, first of all, isn't it brilliant to see four Yorkshire sides in them playoff places? I would have liked it if one of them had been able to win the league, but full credit to Morpeth Town. But yeah, I mean, you look at Pontefract and the run that they've been on, and this is just a team that has real momentum. You know, the last few seasons, what's really impressed me is they're a side that they trust their players. And, you know, losing Eli Hay, for me, would be a bit of a big blow going into these playoffs. He unfortunately suffered quite a bad leg injury. And, you know, I think it was 22 goals he ended the season on before breaking his leg. And, you know, best of luck to him in his recovery. But, you know, you look at the run that Pontefract have been on, and their home form as well has been absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I think in the last couple of months, they've lost one game in the league, and that was to Morpeth Town. And that was a close battle as well. So I think for Pontefract, this is a team that just, they are going to be going into these matches, you know, full of confidence, absolutely brimming with confidence. And they've got players as well, the likes of Gavin Rovery, who have that experience of the playoff battles. And they've got such a good togetherness in that side as well. So, I mean, they just have had another incredible season. And, you know, we'll wait and see whether they can do it now in the playoffs.
9 points the gap between themselves and this week on Tuesday's opponents for Pontefract Coles, Ossett United. I think we forget. I know there was a lot of talk about Ossett United and the potential of the club, but it's still a new venture. And, you know, a lot of things could have gone wrong this season at Ossett United. In the end, they squeaked into the playoffs, but it was comfortable, really, for them. There was a bit of expectation going into this season, and they're taking on Pontefract Coles, who didn't have that expectation, but all of a sudden do, considering how they finished the year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at the work that's been done with Ossett United since they formed, and, you know, I went to see them in the West Riding County Cup final. They just a really nice atmosphere, you know, a fantastic club, a fantastic ground, and the job that Andy Welsh has done in getting that side and some of the signings they've got. I think you've got to look at the forward line that Ossett United have, you know, a player you'll know quite well in Tommy Greaves, you know, who, you know, he knows where the back of the net is, doesn't he? You know, you look at Adam Priestley, who I know quite well from his time at Guiseley and, you know, a Gibraltar international. Then you look at someone like Marcus Day, who, you know, big things are expected of him at Harrogate Town. just didn't work out for him in the end, and he's gone to Oxford United, you know, and he's been getting some goals as well. So, again, it's this whole thing of, I think they've got a fantastic team. They've got a really good management team as well, you know. And, I mean, again, this is the thing. If Oxford United were to miss out on promotion, I think all the foundations are in place for next season, you know, to give it a real good go. And, you know, this is a team that have got the facilities in place with the two stadiums, you know, using one as training, using one as the stadium. And, you know, I was really impressed when I went to see them. And it is just brilliant to see when the two clubs merged. Obviously, you know, there can be teething problems, but they've had no teething problems at all, really. And in the end, you know, another team, it's just brilliant to see them doing so well.
What a quirk of the fixtures this past weekend. Brighouse Town against Sheffield, and Brighouse Town going down by 2-1 sets up the encounter this week for this week's semi-final in the playoffs. Brighouse Town against Sheffield. Firstly, for Brighouse, Tom, I mean, Phil Powell done such a cracking job, hasn't he?
I mean, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I think, again, this is, you know, when he was at Harrogate Town, he was very highly rated. You know, he played a big part in helping Simon Weaver. And, you know, I think I had a lot of respect for him that he could have stayed at Harrogate Town in that, you know, behind the scenes role. He didn't want that. He wanted to be a manager. You know, he'd done such a good job at Harrogate. He now wanted to, you know, get on his own two feet, I suppose, in that management role. And you look at what Brighouse have done. I think, you know, they were the team for me that, if Morpeth weren't going to win the league, I thought it was going to be Brighouse. They just had, you know, one or two results go against them. And again, it's the thing of, you know, they've lost to Morpeth, Pontefract and Sheffield. You know, they were their last three losses. And again, they've been winning so many games. And it's another team with, you know, their home form was absolutely incredible. They've had one or two losses recently, but, you know, they can rediscover that home form, you know, that they had. And they've got the top scorer in the league as well, who's, you know, absolutely banging form. Aaron Martin, 25 goals this season. And again, you know, I think I'm saying this for every single side in this, but I'm just really pleased to see them doing so well, because there's a real good bunch of people at Brighouse. And, you know, again, I'd be happy whoever goes up. You know, if one of the teams can go up, I'd be delighted. But it is just a team that, you know, they really are building something for the future.
Absolutely. And Phil Powell has done such a cracking job. But so has Gavin Smith at Sheffield. Sheffield, for a few years while we've been doing this show, have been mid to lower table. But the last two seasons have been, it's been an upsurge, hasn't they, at the world's oldest football club. This is, I mean, it's a toss of a coin, isn't it, really, this one?
Definitely. And I think, again, it's, you know, when you talk about Sheffield FC, the prestige and history that's associated with it, you know, and the success that's been happening in South Yorkshire for other, you know, sides, I think they can take some inspiration from that. I think, you know, the big thing here is it's that psychological boost that they've got, that they went to Brighouse, you know, a few days later than them facing them again after beating them. And it's whether or not that will give them some sort of advantage. I think that will be the message. Look, we played them, you know, it'll be 72 hours previously. We beat them. We can do it again. And yeah, again with Sheffield, you know, this is a team who, like you said, the last 2 years, you can just see the progression that's being made. You know, the influential players they've been able to bring in, and the results they've been able to pick up as well. And again, it's this whole thing of, you know, if they were to miss out, I think this is a team that wouldn't need too many changes for next season to give it a real good game.
And finally then, Tom, obviously we had Michael Clegg on earlier talking about Division West, and he pinned his colours to the mast. He said he wants Cohen to come up. I'm gonna put you in the same position. I'm not going to ask who you want to come up. I'm going to ask for your predictions. Yeah. So firstly, Pontefract against Dorset United.
I'll tell you this now. I'll just say this now. I'd be happy for any of the four.
No.
I know I've got splinters in my backside because I've stepped on the fence that much. But honestly, I've been to see all four clubs this season, and all four of them just, you know, really enjoyed watching them. Really good clubs. And if I was going to make predictions, I think Pontefract will do it at home against Oxford United because of their form. And because of, you know, the players that they've got. But I think that'll be a real tough one. And Brighouse Sheffield, I think this is going to be one goal in it. Go on, I'll say Brighouse. I think Brighouse will just...
You know what? I feel bad now, Thomas, for ending your journalistic career in such a way. But I had to get you to do it. I'm sorry. I won't get you to predict the final. How's that? Just before you go, Tom, just a quick plug for your work. And have you got any plans to be at various games this coming? Because it's not just this week, is it? And normally it ends next Saturday. But it feels like it's going to go on and on and on this season for some reason.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I will be getting down to one or two of them games. And, you know, it'll be absolutely fascinating to see just who the real winners can be from it. But, yeah, if you want to give me a follow on social media, that's Twitter. That's at Thomas Feeney. I will be boring you, though, and I honestly will be sat on the fence so much on social media the next few weeks. It'll be painful.
Thomas Feeney there, joining us on this week's show. And, well, that's nearly it, James, for this preview show. You're going to be busy on Tuesday, aren't you?
Well, myself and Gary at Football Web Pages, who we need to thank for his role on Saturday as well. 350,000 of you watching Everything unfold on our social media pages. So thank you for watching so far. Just keep iTunes because we're going to do exactly the same. Hopefully with commentaries as well at all the playoff matches in the next couple of days too.
Well, it's brilliant stuff. And just to confirm, all the games that are taking place on Tuesday and on Wednesday, the ambition is to have a commentary at all of them. Follow the league at EvoStickLeague on Twitter, on the website evostickleague.co.uk, and on Facebook. The links to all the various commentaries will be out there on Tuesday and on Wednesday, James. And may the best teams win. Well, James Hayes from the league, a big thank you for joining us, and we'll be hearing from you again on Friday. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests this week. And like we said earlier, a big commiserations to everyone who didn't get what they wanted on Saturday. And a big congratulations to everyone who did. A big, big good luck to everyone taking part in the playoffs on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And as I was saying there, visit the website evostickleague.co.uk on Tuesday and Wednesday for those commentary links if you cannot make those matches in person. While you're on the internet, don't forget you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this week to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.